Amen. Hold someone's hand. Let's say this together. Our Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, this morning, as we proceed further in our study of your word, we receive further enlightenment in our hearts to see beyond the written pages, but to see Jesus Christ, your Son, glorified together as a church. We see him glorified and exalted. We see him as he sees us in him. He remains glorified and we are edified. Amen. All right. Mark's Gospel 16. So am I shifted for Matthew 28? Nah. Maybe not. Mark's Gospel 16, we're looking at staying positive in a negative world. See, I stay positive in a negative world. I stay positive in a negative world. I am full of the gospel. I am full of the word. I'm not full of the world. I'm full of the word. Okay. Mark's Gospel 16 and verse 14. You know, the church is not where you come to hear what you want. No. Church is where you come to hear God's word, not what you want. So say, I don't like that sermon. You are not supposed to like it. Hallelujah. Is that where you come to hear what you like? Not at all. Mark's Gospel 16 and 14. Okay. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. But I better them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In other words, the first thing he does is to rebuke unbelief. Unbelief is something we must shame. The word unbelief means to not trust God or not trust the word of God. Apistia, I showed you that. It means the negative faith. Negative faith. Where you have a negative faith as touching the word of God. And the word of God, why is it negative faith? Because according to Luke's rendition, Luke 24:25, Jesus said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Verse 26 says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Verse 27, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Which means that their unbelief was the fact that they didn't believe the scriptures. Let me say something quickly. You see, God holds the written word above your experiences. The written word. The written word. The written word. You know, years ago, I observed something and I wondered why. But I found out the reason later. You have people. Maybe someone, I think that era has gone now. I'm not sure whether, I've not seen it of late, where you find a billboard and then somebody claims to have been the second in command of the devil. I think that thing has faded away. That's why we don't even know what I'm talking about. And someone will wear a garment that looks like he was in a secret cult. Then he will say, come and hear confessions. And confessions. Yes, back, let me share one very interesting story with you. We had this convention, we called it The Glory of God. That was a meeting. And, no, I think it was Rivers of Joy. And so, I had some of my friends come over to preach for us. That was in 1996, I think. And we now were in the same hotel. They were in the same hotel, Oriwu Hotel then in Ikorodu, with this particular fellow who was supposed to be the cult leader of a cult. Now he's born again. Now, he will go with the garment and hold the crusade. Now, we had our own flyer. We want to talk about Jesus. He had his own flyer. We want to talk about the devil. You know? And lesser people, if our far lesser people came for Jesus, so his own convention, before he even arrived, the place was full. People were saying, come and hear, oh, come and hear, come and hear, Mama Tower. I warned you, you know these people are dangerous. Come out here. And so we were in the same hotel. I wasn't there, but my friends were there. And so we now said, what is it? Of course, we asked him a question. What are you going to do? He said, he wants to come and expose the works of darkness.
How?
How do you expose the works of darkness? By telling us that, when you see small girls plait their hair to the back, this is what it means. All you are going to do is create fear and superstition. But, you know, he went ahead, held his crusade. So by the time we came back, we discovered that the people of the cult had stormed the crusade ground and scattered the place. But the thing was, people were eager to hear such stories. Come and hear one brother. Oh. The brother said, do you know that many people in the choir, they are possessed? How do you know? That there's a music they play. The minute you hear that music, a demon enters you. You know, people say, and they won't sleep. They won't doze. If you keep telling that story for 2 hours, and they say, yellow people are, you just look to your left. But what he said, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians, they said, 2 days ago, I had an encounter with Satan. Hallelujah. So, the written word takes preeminence over experiences. God's word is forever. Hallelujah. Your experiences can change. The word of God can never change. So he says to them that he, Mark 16:14 again, he rebuked unbelief and hardness of the heart. Hardness of the heart, we say, is the word sclerocardia. It means that a difficult, unyielding heart, where something is said again and again and again and again. And then you can say, but this one, but that one. There was a brother like that. He was about speaking in tongues. I had showed him every doubt he had in his head. I believe I removed it. I explained. It was 90s. I explained and explained and explained. Then he said, but bro, if God wants to do this thing, do you have to stress yourself like this? He even told me I was stressing myself. I said, your mouth shut there forever. I didn't tell him to say, but I felt your mouth shut there. No syllable in tongue will come out of your mouth. You know? So, after a while, I was so tired that I showed him I gave him books. Okay, it's not me, this is somebody else. He kept saying, Apparently, he had heard something, you know, about speaking in tongues. And so he felt it was not necessary. After a while, it was demonic. I had to take him to a fellowship. And I said to him, this is the last chance. If you miss this one, I'll hand you over to Jesus. Because I was so sure about that fellowship. The Victory Christian Fellowship. So, some of you have written it down. It doesn't exist again. So, where is that one? Where's that one? It's down that road. You can go there. Nothing passes your ears. So, you know, as he got there, Pastor Dakbo, who was the pastor, it was at this side of the auditorium. So I was just praying God, today, because I took him from Lagos to Ibadan. So today, as he got into the auditorium, and was quite some people, he said, hey brother, it was by word of knowledge. You don't speak with us. I said, thank you, Jesus. You know, somehow that was all he needed. Then he spoke in tongues. Then he was now shouting in tongues. I looked at him like, but that's hardness of the heart. Now he's a believer, but his mind is stiff. He has read the wrong things. He has heard the wrong things. I believe that the 3 days that Jesus wasn't found, his disciples must have been hearing gist. They said they broke his leg. No, they didn't break his leg. They said they broke his leg. They said he was crying. He was crying. No, they ran away. He was crying. Jesus Christ. He was crying, you know. In fact, he was crying. I was one that gave him a handkerchief. You know, say, at a point, he even cried to God. He said, hello. Now that's a joke I'm going to tell you one day. hello. He cried for hello. He said hello. He said hello. Did not call. Then that's the end. So imagine you had your mind was already on wrong information. You had heard the wrong things. You had heard the very wrong things. Praise the Lord. So he rebuked it. Now, you and I, this is about us now, we need to take a stand against those kind of things that are in our minds, that militate against God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3. Paul says, though we walk in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 10 3, we do not war after the flesh. Now this is the preaching of the gospel. He says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. Now people have thought that means that you should go to be fighting people in your family and then put their names in a bottle of oil and be shaking it. Someone said, as I was shaking it, they were shaking in my village in the name of Jesus. No, that's not the name of Jesus. That's the name of something else. And then it says in verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down what? Casting down what? Imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, definitely, this is the preaching of the gospel. There are sometimes when you preach the gospel, some people will, maybe somehow the ground has been wet. So you preach to them and say, okay, fine. I didn't argue the gospel when I heard the gospel. You know why? Because somehow along the line, I mean, my parents were church Christians. When I say church Christians, you know what I'm talking about. My granddad was a prophet. My two granddads, one was a prophet, one was a bishop. So I had enough about Jesus. Jesus has been used to punish me. All sorts of things have been used in the name of Jesus. So when I heard the gospel for the first time, I was able to believe for whatever reasons, you know, and I'm glad I did. But there are those who have had the wrong information and they have imaginations. They have a knowledge that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So those are the kind of people you have to war. And warfare means sometimes you have to insist. Sometimes you have to persist. And take your time. I remember I had to preach to a Muslim for about 5 years. There was a day he told me, he said, the next time you mention Jesus, I'll cut off your head. And he was not joking. I looked at my head, looked at his own, and I said, my own should remain. But the point is, sometimes you have to insist. Because some people are exposed to wrong things. They've read wrong things. They've read terrible things. Now, take that home to a fellow Christian who is born again, but he has the wrong information. He has said things about healing. He has said about people that they prayed for and they died. He has said all sorts of things. He has said the pastor who used to pray for the sick, he died sick. And all those things will come to his head every time you're talking about divine healing. That's imaginations. Imaginations. He's not dead, but he's thinking about death. He's not diseased, he's thinking about diseases. Hallelujah. There are Christians today who still think they can go to hell. They think so. Born again people. They think they can go to hell. Why? They have heard stories. Stories. As a younger preacher, if I don't put hell fire, not hell, fire must be there. In my sermon, it's not hot. It's not hot. Remember one day like that? I prepared how I was going to fire my face before I got to the pulpit. So everybody was singing, after singing things like, I will enter his gate with that. You won't make sure you don't excite yourself. With that, you are the one taking the sermon, so everybody will know. with thanksgiving in my heart. Everybody say, I will enter his courts with praise. We will get there. Praise the Lord. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we beseech your throne today. Give us the word for now. Break every rebellion. Remove every thought of Satan. Let every, by the time you are done, people are already ready for a sermon. They will now sing a song. I won't give you some of those songs, so that you not start thinking about it. And you say, Naaman was the captain of the host of Syria, the mighty man of Baal. But, what is the but in your life? And you will frown very well. You can be speaking in tongues and praying, but you know there is a but. One but can prevent you from entering into the kingdom of heaven. You can be a pastor, a choir master. You can be an usher. You can even be a mighty healer. But, because the Bible says no leper is fit for priest to see where I went to. Naaman is a Gentile. It's all those things that are in your head. So someone says, I went to hell, I came back. You're welcome. Say, I saw your pastor. Say, what was he doing there? I don't know. Why didn't you ask him? You know, those things are in your head. You've read Rebecca Brown, Prepare for War. How many of you have read that kind of book before? Is that why you are struggling in this service? I'm joking, huh? Right? You've read Delivered from the Power of God, sorry, Power of Darkness. You've read all sorts of nonsense. So it's in your head. You have to wage war against it. The first thing is, you have to rebuke it. You have to shame the hardness of the heart. Shame it. And the way to shame it is via the gospel. Quickly, the word of God is God's news. That's God's news. Romans 1:1. I, Paul, an apostle of God, of Jesus Christ, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised afore by his prophets, Romans 1:2, in the Holy Scriptures. So verse 3, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, who was made the seed of David according to the flesh. Verse 4, he says, he was declared the son of God by resurrection from the dead, by the spirit of holiness. Jesus Christ is the focus of the gospel. Let me quickly say this. How you know it is the gospel or the word of God is what you heard is that it always talks about Jesus. So whatever is asked of God from you will be found in Jesus for you. If you hear anything that the focus is not on Jesus, it's about you, it's about you, it's about you, and you separate from Christ, that is not the gospel. That is not God's news. So you've got to fill your mind with God's own news for you. God's word. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed by the word of God that lives and abides forever. 1 Peter 1:25 says, this is the gospel. This is the gospel. So what does the gospel do? Now, the gospel saves me, praise God. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. And the gospel also corrects my thinking. The gospel corrects. How many of you have had people have a wrong impression about you before? That's not possible not to have had that before. Let me see your hand. You've had people think that you are what you are not. Why? Because someone told them about you. Or they got a wrong impression of you. And they thought, you're somebody else. Now, oftentimes it's because someone told them, right? And secondly, they never try to find out. And people can carry a wrong impression for a very long time. For a very long time. And so, imagine how you felt when such people now came to ask you or find out. You felt, why would anyone say that about me? Now imagine having an impression about God. Because someone told you. And you never tried to get the right information. So, the gospel does that to you. The gospel corrects sometimes what your parents told you about God. The gospel corrects things you saw in movies about God. Now, years ago, I was in the ministry, but I'm still growing, but I was still very young. I watched a movie and I just didn't like it. I couldn't explain it. Now, I just come out of the burning hell. I know that word burning hell before. Burning hell, distant thunder. You don't know those movies? Burning hell, distant thunder. There's another one. Mark of the Beast. You don't even know what I'm talking about. Those are evangelistic tools. When you hear them once, you surrender your life to Christ. When you say Mark of the Beast, I see Antichrist sending his policemen all over the place. Where is the mark? You don't have it. They start punishing you. They cut your hand. Boom! The pain is there. The hand comes back. You know those very funny things. You know? But I started learning the Word of God, started reading scriptures, started listening to outstanding teachers of the Word. But it wasn't so much. And many of us don't understand that if you have such information in your mind, you must be aggressive in taking it out. Don't do it slowly. Be aggressive about it. Be aggressive. Now, I now watch a movie, Christian movie, and there was this guy. Some of you probably know the movie. This fellow had been going to this rich man's house to preach the gospel to him. The rich man rebuffed him, often just said, I don't want to hear you. So, in fact, there was a time he sent him to his dogs. So his dogs pounced on him, you know, and all of that. Now, the amazing part was, he now got to a point that the rich man now felt, I think I've been very evil. Then he said, I think now I want to hear the gospel. Then an angel of God said, it's too late. I said, eh? You know, I just... Because I've been reading some information, I said, no, that's not possible. The truth is, I couldn't even explain what I was saying. I said, that's not possible. In fact, I met the man who did the movie years afterwards, and I accosted him. Why did you act that kind of movie? That's misleading. Somebody on the cross got born again. Hallelujah. On the cross. How many more minutes left? How would you say someone, I remember one major Nigerian leader, not political leader, who was known for fetish things and other things. And another preacher told us that he met him on his sick bed and he got born again. I said, go away! Somebody now told me, hey friend, how are we sure? Is genuine. Someone that is about to die. Is that true repentance? I looked at him like this. If I give you true headbutt. People are pessimistic. Can someone be saved? You know, if somebody walks into this service now, maybe he used to be a bad guy. Then he has tattoo all over him. Then I say, hello brother. Look at. There are some of your men that say, tattoo. Salvation. Tattoo. Salvation. We're in the last days. Only two believers. You know, because you've had wrong thinking. Someone told me, what if I speak in evil tongues? I was laying hands on, said, speak it first. At least speak it first. Then we find out whether it's evil. How can that come to your head? These signs of all them that believe they might speak in evil tongues. Did you read that? So where did you get it from? Where did you hear it from? Someone told you. Right? Someone told you. Where did you get it from? Hallelujah. See, I fill my mind with God's positive thoughts. God's thoughts about me is the gospel. They are positive. Hallelujah. So I said, what if I die? What if you live? Why not what if I live? Why what if I die? Why are you filling your mind with something negative? So the gospel corrects my thinking. Luke 24, are you there? Check it out. Luke 24, 44. This is Jesus. Jesus with his own disciples, amongst them the 12. Or 11, you know what I mean by that. Matthias. And he says, these are the words which I spake unto you, Luke 24, 45. Turn there. While I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Look at 45. Let's say 45 together. Then he opened ye their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Pay attention there. The word open means that their minds were blocked. They had the Bible, they read it every service, but they had a kind of understanding. So he opened their understanding. Dianogio in the Greek, it means to split wide open something that had never been opened before. It's used for the womb, for those who are deaf, and so on and so forth. He opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. What happened there is called repentance. Repentance means to change what is in your mind. To change the information in your mind. Some guys start repenting. You know what it is? Repent! I can see you, Baba Basira, you are drinking beer. Repent! Silly boy, you slept in that man's house. Repent! They think that's what it means. No. Can it affect a man's conduct? No. Before you say repent, you must give them an information. It is that information that they need to turn their attention to. So, let me give you a graphical meaning of repentance. Repentance is, if I'm looking here now, and my focus is here, and I'm looking at this door, and I'm always looking at this door, you know, my perception will be influenced by what I'm seeing. I'm looking at this door all the time. You know, repentance is, then you say, hey, Shagun, I say, yeah, look at that door. Say, which one? That door. Then I take my eyes away from this. Then I go here. That is repentance. Metanoia. It means to turn around in your mind. Meta means to turn. Noi, that's N-O-I-A, is from the word nohus, your thinking. To change your thinking. Now, does that also involve changing your behavior? Yes. But if you change your behavior without changing your thinking, you are a hypocrite. You get that? You're a hypocrite. And it's not true worship. And if you change your thinking without changing your behavior, your thinking has not changed. So in other words, it is to change what you are thinking. So the gospel changes how I think. For example, I can call somebody my brother, and we're from the same mom. And we're blood brothers. And I see him that way. But if I hear the gospel and he's not a Christian and is an unbeliever, he's not my brother spiritually. He belongs to the devil. The gospel changes how I see him. Let me see how you're following what I'm talking about. The gospel changes how you see things. How you see your country, how you see people on the street, how you see everybody. The gospel changes it. And so to believe is actually to repent. Luke 24, 46, let's see. And thus it is written, is fulfilled that Christ indeed must suffer, and then be raised from the dead the third day. Luke 24, 47. And repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. So repentance is to change your thinking, which influences your conduct. So when you read Mark's Gospel, for example, chapter 1 and 5, and you hear repent. Repent there simply means change how you think. Verse 15, pardon me. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. So the gospel changes my thinking. See, I allow the gospel to influence how I think. You know, there was a simple way I explained to someone one day. He felt God was in the business of killing people that he didn't like. And most of the time we infuse our own emotions into the Bible. Now, some guys may say, but the Bible says in the Old Testament, this and this and this. I say, well, the Bible has 66 books. Read everything. It's when you are done with everything that you can have genuine questions. If all you read was 1 Samuel or 2 Kings, Exodus, you can't have genuine questions. You got to read everything. It's when you are done reading everything that you can have genuine questions. Praise the Lord. So he said that. Then I said, you believe the gospel? He said, yes. I said, what is the gospel? Jesus Christ died. I said, Jesus Christ, God? He said, yes, I believe. You said, God kills people? He said, yeah. Is Jesus Christ God? He said, I believe. So I said, who killed Jesus? He said, men killed Jesus. So Jesus Christ is God? I said, I believe. So men killed Jesus. All right? If men killed Jesus, and you just said that you believe God's the one who kills people, how does that work? That means you don't believe the gospel. Because the gospel already shows you God doesn't kill. By the death of Jesus, that should have changed your thinking. If Jesus truly died, and he died in the hands of sinners, he died in the hands of those who hated him, that already changes the way you see God. So rather than see that it is God hunting people, hating on men, or punishing men, allow me to say this is men punishing God in their unbelief and hardness of the heart. The gospel in its simplicity ought to change the way you think. So I said to him, if you believe the gospel, Jesus Christ is God, then that ought to change how you think. And so we must therefore allow the gospel to influence the way we think. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So got correction to do. You got correction to say, I've got correction to do in the way I think. Hallelujah. There was something happened years back, I think 3 years ago. There was this bar, I think it was France or something. It was a gay bar. Homosexuals were there. Homosexuals definitely are those who abuse themselves with mankind. They are those who use their bodies wrongly and don't glorify God in their body. But the funny thing that was that there was now, fire. The fire caught the bar, and I think a couple of guys were killed. Then a guy celebrated and said, that's the judgment of God! And I felt, why did you say that? He said, because God just seen. You know, he's the one that is actually hungry. God is him. Yes. God is judging the nations. I said, really? You don't know him. You don't know him. If you knew the people Jesus was ruling with in the four Gospels, I mean ruling, he was going to their house, their homes. They sat at his feet. A prostitute, proper rose girl, was at his feet. Was he commending Aaron's runs? No. Hallelujah. But was loving on her. And he says, your sins are forgiven you. Praise the Lord. I think I showed you in Luke 13, where there was one disaster that killed certain people. And he says, don't think you are better than they are. That's what he told them. Don't think it happened to them because of their sins. That's what he told them. So the gospel should change the way you think. Hallelujah. And the way you see people. When you see people who are violent towards the gospel, who are immoral in their lifestyle, you see an object of the love of God. Someone you should pray for, preach the gospel to, and be insistent on their salvation. The gospel should change the way you think. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 10. Glory to God. And so we said that the hardness of the heart, the background of that is where? I didn't hear you. These are members. What again? The book of Numbers. Because every statement in the epistles or in the four gospels has the background in the Old Testament. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you be ignorant. He said this twice, also in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1. I would not that you be ignorant that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Are you there? Let's do some objective word study here so we can get a hold of what he's saying here. Now, definitely this is the book of Numbers, right? No, sorry. This is the book of Exodus. When they passed through the sea. You see that Exodus chapter 12 through to 18 and 19. Now, he says they all passed through the sea, and the cloud and the sea. Then he says in verse 3, they did all eat the same spiritual meat. And they did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Now obviously, if you read the Exodus account, you're not going to see anything spiritual. You're going to see them drink water. You're also going to see them eat manna and food. Which means that what he's talking about is not physical food. Are you following what I'm saying? It's not physical food, because if it's physical food he's referring to, that has no import or impact on people's spiritual lives at all. So in other words, as we read the book of Numbers, Exodus, we ought to pay attention to the spiritual realities there. Oftentimes, people are carried away by the physical stories and the physical emblems, or the symbols or physical experiences. But he's saying here that when you read Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, you must pay attention to the spiritual realities. Because he says, rather than focus on the meat that they ate, focus on the spiritual meat. Focus on the spiritual drink. Are you with me? Are you with me there? Now, let's give a background to this. You know, when you read any epistle, ensure you go back to the beginning. Oftentimes there's an introduction to terms that are used afterwards. If Paul is mentioning spiritual here, which you are also going to find in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1, there is a background to this information that we ought to see. The first background will be in chapter 2. Watch this. Chapter 2. Chapter 2 chapter 2. Look at verse 13. The first time he uses the word spiritual here. With things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing what? With what? Now, without going to the pretext of this statement, that means the word spiritual has to do with information. Right? What is preached and what is said. Okay, now if you back up to chapter 1, where in verse 18, it says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It says, when we preach Christ crucified, verse 23, the Jews say it's a stumbling block, what you call scandalion in the Greek. Something that causes them to offend, to be offended, scandalion. The second word is unto the Greeks foolishness, moraia. It doesn't make sense. That is, it's intellectually bereft of insight, or bereft of intellectual insight. Then he says, but when I came to you in chapter 2 verse 1, I came not in the excellency or speech of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Of it you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in what? Come on, in what? Demonstration of the Spirit, which is the power of God. Pay attention. So far, pay attention here, please. What is the emphasis here? The preaching of Christ. Is that clear? Is that clear? The preaching of Christ is the demonstration of the Spirit, which he calls the power of God. Then it says in verse 5, it said, your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, which he calls the cross in 1 Corinthians 1:18 and 24. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to nothing. Verse 7, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God had ordained before the world unto our glory. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew it, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9, let's take verse 9 together. Come on, let's go. I have not seen, nor hear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things that are... Okay, good. So the men he's referring to here, are these the believers or the non-believers? Huh? The non-believers. Because they are the ones that call the gospel foolishness or a stumbling block. So the heart of the men he's referring to here are the hearts of the men that have not received the gospel. So don't say, I has not seen. He has not heard what God has planned for me. Even your own ears have not heard it. That means you are a qualified unbeliever. That's what he's talking about. Now look at verse 11. Verse 10, let's go. Let's read verse 10 together. Unto us by spirit. Go on. For the things, the things of God. Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man? Hold on. I want everyone to read together. Verse 11. Let's go. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Verse 12. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. Verse 13, with things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, but the natural man receives not the things of the spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because of... So what are the things of the spirit of God? Christ crucified. Does it make sense? Come on, talk to me. Is that the gospel? Is that the gospel? Come on, is that the gospel? Okay, look at the next statement. Let's go. Verse 15 now. Let's go. Spiritual judges all things, yet himself is judge of no man. 16, who hath known the mind of the Lord that he might instruct him? So the word spiritual deals with what? Information about Christ's death, burial and resurrection and ascension for sins. That's the word spiritual. Now, in chapter 5, verse 7, let's take it together. Chapter 5, verse 7, let's go. Purge ye therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. As you are unleavened, let's go. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So when we read Passover, that's Exodus. Right? Come on, is that Exodus? So Christ is the Passover of Exodus. So since Jesus had not showed up physically in Exodus, that means Jesus in Exodus will be in words. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? He will be the preached word. So the preached word of God in Exodus is the Passover. So while you will have the physical lamb that they are going to eat, what's going to save them is not the physical lamb. It will be what? What was preached. Let me see your hand if you understand what I just said now. Come on, let me see your hand. Okay, because that is the communication of the Spirit. What was said. So therefore, if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, when he says in verse 3, and did eat the same spiritual meat. That spiritual meat will be what? Will be what? Words. Right? Come on, guys. Right? Words. Okay? And they drank the same spiritual drink. That drink will also be what? Will be what? Preaching. So, he's not referring to the symbols. Rather, he's referring to the message. It's not referring to the symbols. It's referring to what? The message. So if I'm reading the book of Exodus, what should I pay attention to? Symbols or the message? Message. The symbols are like a picture of the message. If you have the picture and you don't believe the message, you have a hard heart. The picture doesn't get to your heart. It's the words that come to your heart. So, let's look at an example I showed you yesterday. John the Baptist came to preach about Jesus. If you say, what is John the Baptist's message? The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. How is he going to take away the sin of the whole world? Now, by saying the Lamb of God, John 1:29, it means that John is saying Christ will die and take away the sin of the world by his resurrection. Now, pay attention. So, what then is the necessity of the baptism? You know, we said yesterday that Israel crossed the Red Sea to the desert. And the host of Egypt died at the Red Sea. But from the desert to the promised land, they crossed the Jordan. So John goes to the river Jordan to demonstrate, pay very good attention, what Jesus was going to do. You are going to cross to God's promised land by death, burial, and what? Resurrection. So he dramatizes what God will do in Jesus by putting people under the water and then raising them. So when Jesus gets there, he says, no, I don't have to do this one. You are senior to me. Jesus said, no, do it that all right things should be done. That all righteousness must be fulfilled. Matthew 3:15. So he dips Jesus into, that is what? A death. And then what? The resurrection. And this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Does it make sense to you? So the physical baptism was a picture of what was going to happen. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? So the physical baptism of Jesus was a symbol of the actual baptism. What was the actual baptism? What happened to him on the cross? Let me see if you understand that. So just like John put drama to God's word, Moses put drama to God's word. He gave them physical elements of the message that he preached. So, if you are to read John's ministry now, what would you pay attention to? The drama or what he said? Why? Because the drama is simply a picture of what he said. That is why in Acts 19, when Paul met certain disciples of John, and he says in Acts 19:1, in verse 2 says, he asked them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?" They answered him back, "We have not heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." How would you be a disciple of John and you have not heard it? That means you missed first service. Or both services. Or came in late. Because whether it's Matthew 3:11 and 12, Mark 1:8, Luke 3:16 and 17, or John 1:33-34, John spoke about the Holy Ghost that Jesus was going to baptize with. Acts 1:4-5. How didn't they hear it? Then Paul answered them back, Acts 19:4. John verily baptized the baptism of repentance, saying to the people, Acts 19:4, look at it, saying to the people. So, John's baptism, is it water or a message? Exactly. The water was supposed to put in pictures what he was saying. So, let's go back to Exodus, therefore. That means the crossing of the Red Sea, the crossing of Jordan, the feeding of manna, the water that came from the rock, were all a drama of the gospel. Does it make sense to you now? So, if I don't have the water from the rock, and I believe the gospel, can I have the gospel without water from the rock shown to me? Yes. So, in 1 Corinthians 10, Paul is saying, pay attention to the message. Now, the challenge will be, hope you are following me. Are you following me here? The challenge will be, what if they had ate of the spiritual meat and drank of the spiritual drink? Why then does verse 5 say, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness? Now, people don't get this. And I need to clear it for you. So some have said, what it means is that you can even be a believer. You can be a believer just like children of Israel. And then God can say, have you overthrown in the wilderness? But were the children of Israel believers? No. They were not. In fact, Moses said they were a generation of unbelievers. Deuteronomy 32 verse 20. He called them stiff-necked. Now this is why in our studies we now resort to the original language. Because this is contradictory and confusing. Now, go back to what we read in chapter 2. So the spiritual meat is what? An information. Come on. The spiritual drink? An information. The spiritual rock? An information. Look at that 13. 13. 1 Corinthians 2. We speak, 1 Corinthians 2:13. Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but with the Holy Ghost teacheth what? Now, slowly look at verse 14. Let's go. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man is the man who has not believed. So the question is, if the natural man is the man that has not received the things of the Spirit of God, why then will Paul say in 1 Corinthians 10:3-4 that they ate, they got the information, and they drank of the information? Now, the original Greek in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 3, right, this does not make sense. 1 Corinthians 10:3. When it says the spiritual meat there, is the word pneumaticon broma. Pneumaticon. It means of the spirit. Broma, meat, It means meat given by the Spirit. That's not in your dream. The Spirit gave me meat. This is an information. Now that word broma, pay attention please, is used for both literal food, like 1 Corinthians 6:13, meat for the belly, belly for the meat, 1 Corinthians 8:8, and yeah, twice. But it's also used as a figure of speech. 1 Corinthians 3:2, Paul says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. 1 Corinthians 3:2. Hebrews 13:9, where the writer of Hebrews says, be not carried away with diverse and strange doctrines. For it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meat, which have not profited them that occupy therein. So he uses the word meat for spiritual food. Hebrews 13:9. John 4:34, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of he that sent me. So the word food is used figuratively. Pay attention, please. And so, I searched a bit further and saw another word which qualifies this word broma. Is the word bibrosko. B-I-B-R-O-S-K-O. B-I-B-R-O-S-K-O. It refers to what is taken or the food to be eaten. So he has pneumaticon broma, 1 Corinthians 10:3. Now, he says to eat. That's where our challenge is. Because if they had eaten of the Spirit, then they couldn't have been overthrown. So is there a conflict? No, there's no conflict. Now, I've said to you many times, that when we resort to the original language, is when there are gaps. What do I mean by gaps? When you have to translate from one language to another, for example, the Hebrew Bible in the days of Jesus, listen carefully, had now been translated into Greek, called the Septuagint. So they are the Septuagint from where much of Jesus' teachings were from. For example, if you look at Isaiah 61 in the Hebrew and what Jesus quoted in Luke 4:18, you will see a slight difference. Why is there a slight difference? Because in translations, alright, certain words will be added for easier understanding. Do you understand what I'm talking about here? So, in the days of Jesus, they had a Greek translation of Hebrew words. However, there were times that where there were gaps, they resorted back into the use of the Greek, the Hebrew, where maybe the Greek didn't give the exact translation. I'll give you the instances on Saturday. Now, at those instances is where there's a gap. There are sometimes you have words in perfect tenses, translated into an imperfect tense. Some will be continuous usage, a continuous tense, and then they are applied in the perfect tense. So, in this instance, that has applied. When Paul says, and they ate of the same spiritual meat, the Greek word here is the word phago. It means to eat of, not that they actually ate. It means, and they were to eat of the same spiritual drink, not that they ate it. It's actually in the continuous tense to eat. It doesn't mean it wasn't in the past tense. They were to eat of it. The same thing was used in verse 4, pneumaticon epion poma. Epion is to drink. They were to drink of the same spiritual drink. Pneumaticon epion poma. In other words, they were to drink. They were to eat. The original language doesn't use it for an action they took, rather for an offer that was made to them. Let me see if you understand what I'm talking about here. is used for the offer, not their actions. So in other words, they were to eat of the word, and they were to drink of the word, and it says the rock was Christ. They were to eat, and they were to drink, and the rock was Christ. So, in other words, the text in verse 3 and 4 is not what they did, rather what they did not do. And that resulted, let me go over those words for you again. The first one is pneumaticon broma. Then he uses the word ephago. E-P-H-A-G-O. It means they were to eat it. They were to drink it. Pneumaticon epion. Epoma. By putting the word E before it, because the word phago means to eat. The word peon means to drink. The word E means to eat, to drink. In fact, if you check the Strong's Concordance, it just uses the word phago and the word peon. It doesn't use the tenses that was in the original. So, further study reveals this ephago, epion, that is to eat and to drink. If I say, well, is meant to eat the food. It's different from he ate the food. Is meant to, or is to drink the, from the cup, or he drank from the cup. So in 1 Corinthians 10:3, it is they were to eat of the same spiritual meat. Verse 4, they were to drink of the same spiritual drink. Let me see your hand if you understand that well. Because if they ate it and they drank it, that means they were believers. Because the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. But we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirits of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So if they ate it, that means they were born again. Let me see if you understand that. If they drank it, that means they were believers. But they were not. In Hebrews chapter 4, are you learning something? Are you learning something? Hebrews chapter 4. The same account was given. I'll start from chapter 3. Chapter 3, the same Exodus account. Verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today if you will hear his voice. Let's take verse 8 together. Hebrews 3, 8. Let's go. Harden not your heart as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Now let me give you another example. Look at how the King James says it. As in the provocation. If I say provocation now, that means you are provoking somebody. Right? Come on. So let's think about it in literal terms today. Who do you think was being provoked? Don't form word man. Who do you think was being provoked? God. Okay, that means they were provoking God in the day of provocation. But look at the Greek word. The Greek word here actually means rebellion. I'll spell it for you. P-A-R-A-P-I-K-R-A-S-M-O-S. Parapikrasmos. P-A-R-A-P-I-K-R-A-S-M-O-S. It is actually rebellion. To rebel against another. It's repeated in chapter 3 verse 16. They did provoke, albeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. Now change it to rebel. How does it change? Does it change the narrative? Very good. They rebel, or use the word refusal. So what did they refuse? God's salvation. So they refused God's salvation. Para pikrasmos. In their heart. Also in verse 15, Hebrews 3. In the day of provocation, what did they harden their heart to his voice? What is his voice? Christ Jesus, the gospel. Is this making sense? Did they drink water in the wilderness?
Yes.
Did they eat food in the wilderness?
Yes.
But did they drink his water? Huh? Did they eat of his bread? Did they eat of his food?
No.
So a man can participate in the drama and yet not believe the message. So he said, for 40 years, the miracles, which are signs of the message, was received by them, but they never ate of the spiritual meat or drank of the spiritual drink. Let me see if you follow what I'm saying. Come on. Is this making sense to you? This is the same people. They rebelled. They refused. But someone said, how did they rebel and refuse? This guy saw miracles. Yes. I've told you, faith for miracles is not the same as faith for salvation. They're not the same thing. So chapter 4, verse 2. Let's take it together. Come on, let's go. Let me teach you something about translations and commentaries. Let's go. For unto us, stop there. Can we say, was the meat offered? Spiritual meat? Spiritual drink? Come on. So let's go. For unto us was the meat and drink offered, as well as... Is it making sense now? Let's finish it. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Is that clear? So they were to eat of the same spiritual meat and drink of the same spiritual drink. Not mixed with faith in them that heard it. The word preached did not profit, ophelio in the Greek, which means it didn't yield fruit. The word was preached, but it didn't yield any fruit. It had no effect. So, in 1 Corinthians 10, Paul is using an example of unbelievers. They were not believers. They are not believers. So that means in the numbers experience, we do have an example of unbelief. Now, why would he use it for believers? He will use it for believers because a believer can be influenced by the world. He can be influenced by the world. In chapter 3, verse 1. In chapter 3, verse 1. You learning something? Come on, you learning something? 1 Corinthians 3, 1. Let's take it together. Let's go. Everybody, let's go. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you. Now, let's change the word spiritual. Can we say as unto believers? Huh? Okay, so let's change the word spiritual to believers. So let's go. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto believers, but as unto carnal. Can we say carnal is unbeliever? Okay. But as unto unbelievers, even as unto babes in Christ. Verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for either though you were not able to bear, neither are you now able. Verse 3, let's go. For you are yet carnal, for where is among you envying, strife, divisions? Are you not carnal and walk as men? Men who are without the Spirit. So if, having said this in the introduction, by chapter 10, he now shows us those men. Are you getting what I'm talking about? The men without the Spirit, who did not receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness unto them. So the example of that will be found in the book of Numbers. But then the dilemma is, even though the Corinthian church had received the gospel, they were acting like men who had not believed. So is it possible to have a Christian who is a believer act like he is hardened towards the world? Is it possible? Is it possible? Come on, talk to me. Is it possible? he will walk like he's not born again. As we're saying, you need to rebuke and shame unbelief. Numbers 13 and 14. Numbers. Now we read this account before. Let's just go through it. There were 12 spies sent to the promised land, Canaan. 12 of them. And of the 12, two came with a positive report. Caleb and Joshua. They simply said, if God said it, we do it. If God said it, he'll make it good. 10 senior pastors, senior leaders of the people said, no, it's not possible. And the book of Numbers calls it Numbers 13:32, an evil report. An evil report. What's an evil report? We say slander. Anything that shames, makes foolish, makes untrue, or impracticable God's word. And today we are surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses. Of things we read, people around us who are filled with negative thoughts towards what God has said. Evil report abounds in the media. They abound sometimes in our families. They abound in our neighborhood. They abound in the things we read. They brought a slanderous report. Some people even mock the scriptures. Some won't go directly at the scriptures. They will mock churches, sermons, songs, Christians, and it's an attack on the gospel of Jesus. We get to read them, we get to see them. And Paul is saying to us in 1 Corinthians 10, that abounds around you. You mustn't follow that example. You are in this world, but you are not of this world. But the fact remains that you are in this world. You go to the same market, there's no Christian market. There's no Christian TV. There's TV station owned by Christians, but it's on platforms owned by non-Christians. There's no Christian estate. Even where you have, even those who have attempted to build Christian estates now have Muslims there. Or Christians that are not Christians are also there. You are in this world, but you are not of this world. And so we're exposed every day to slanderous reports against God's word. Look at chapter 14. As soon as those 10 spread the report, the Bible says in 14 verse 1, all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. I told you last week, negative reports against the word of God can spread very fast. And they will have identifications of fear, unbelief, doubt, anxiety, hatred, and so on and so forth. I'll take some of them on in the second service more. Information that mocks the word. God said it. Anything that speaks contrary to God's word calls the cross of Christ foolishness. He calls it a scandalion. God said so. I act on the word. What is faith? Faith means to act on the word as the truth. To act on the word as the truth. That's what faith is. That means against human experiences, human witnesses. Someone told me, said, well, I've stopped going to church. I said, why? He said, all the churches are filled with thieves. They are filled with this one. I said, scripture and verse. He said, I'm not talking Bible here. See your life. All the churches are filled with this one. I heard that the men of God who are buried monkeys or cow in their churches. I said, scripture and verse. He said that he frees. He said, see your life. Which of the epistles did he write? That's ridiculous. You are using a man's experience to slander the written word. All the pastors are thieves. Don't say, all men are ghosts like your daddy. Do you understand? You believe the gospel, then you believe the scriptures above human experiences. Don't feel your thoughts. And you know, today we have a social media. Things will just go fast. Pam, 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 pam. People start to send it on WhatsApp. WhatsApp. Or don't say WhatsApp. I told someone that said, I said, look at the number again. Never should you fall such rubbish in my phone again. From that point, the person started checking before he sends anything. It was my classmate. So don't do it again, though. And telling me rubbish nonsense. Or nonsense rubbish. So you've never sent me God's word before. Hey, this is happening here. Hey, that's happening here. Don't travel on Lagos about an expressway. They said some people are I said, you've never sent anything from God's word to me before. It's new, so that I'll be afraid. Don't send it again, oh. Who are you working for? Are you there? Some of you are like that. So now say, people say that I've been removing Oshodi. Send it to all your church members. We'll go check their head. It spreads so fast. The church of God is God's wisdom. Hallelujah. The church is waxing stronger. God spoke to us years ago. He said, my church is never going to get weaker. It's going to get stronger. Who believes that? Come on. Who believes that? Let me see if you believe that. The word of God is growing in the nations of the earth. Let me see. Raise your hand. Come on, if you believe that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God's word is growing. Amen. Someone told me when I was in the U.S., United States, he said, what's happening about your country? We heard, I said, you're hearing the wrong thing. God's word is growing in my country. Hallelujah. The power of God is, he said, wow, that's positive. I said, no, I'm not telling you what's positive. I'm telling you what's going on. Hallelujah. So when we're done with our Bible discussion, because we're into some theological discussion, and he said, I can see the word of God is growing in your country. I said, I told you. Glory to God. I stay positive. Amen. Hallelujah. Show me one Christian who died. I'll show you many more who are alive by the power of God. Show me someone who was sick and didn't get well. I'll show you hundreds and thousands who were healed by the power of God. Hallelujah. I refuse to fill my mind with evil report. Show me a church that had a problem. I'll show you more that are growing. Glory to God. Show me a church where people have been extorted to give and do all sorts. I'll show you others who are giving generously. Amen. Someone shared something that was so funny. You know, there are churches today that dedicate cars. they go... I can't, oh God, thank you for saving me. How lucky dedicating cars on this. Can you dedicate phones? Oh, somebody just bought Bayrou. So no, how can you dedicate Bayrou? That means you're materialistic. You have to dedicate everything new that we buy. Wave on. Dedication. If you buy a car here, we just ride it with you. Who dedicated it is dedicated. Doesn't have number. That means dedicated. Hallelujah. Do you understand? But there are churches that focus on the word of God. Hallelujah. There's slander in the media. There's slander around you. Yeah, be careful. I go to church, I just leave, you know. People say things like that. The people, they spread reports of kidnappings. kidnapping all over the place. You are not going to be kidnapped. Hallelujah. You won't be kidnapped. Some say, but people are being kidnapped. I say, why are you not kidnapped? That means you are not kidnapped. I won't be kidnapped too, since we are both not kidnapped now. Glory to God. So with your phone, spread the good news. Glory to God. Share the word of God. Amen. What about in your office? All you talk about is God's word. Everybody's talking negative. They say, what the Bible says. What the Bible says. He said, you are too spirit. Tell them you are too kana. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. My thoughts are positive by the gospel of Jesus. Mark 5, quickly. So don't allow things to spread to your heart. I told someone one day, I said, I observed the last five conversations we've had. Everything is negative. I said, the next time you say something negative, I'm going to block your number. Sir, man of God. I said, I'm telling you, the next time you say something negative, I will block your number. I will remain blocked. Mark 5. Let me show you scriptures for blocking. Are you there? When Jesus got to the house of Jairus, see what happened. Mark 5. You know, they had come to Jairus and said, leave the master, your daughter is dead. Jesus turned to Jairus in verse 36. He says, fear not, only believe. As they entered Jairus' house, verse 38, they met some people who were weeping. The tumult, there were many. Association of anointed mourners. Some people are just graced with it. Hey, you know, people quickly hear wrong things. So I say, did you hear that pastor, you know, did you hear this happen in their church? I said, you've never told me they won souls. You've never told me that they moved into a better place where they now fellowship. You've never told me that they are growing. You've never told me the sick were healed. Did that not happen? It did. You forgot to tell me. You're a bad guy. You know where movie? You're a bad guy in movie. You're a bad guy. You're a bad guy. Learn to tell that people, you're a bad guy. They're always happy. There's something that triggers people to cry. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, no one will use their tears to mock you. Do you hear what I said? No one will use their tears to mock you. You will walk in God's purpose and plans. You walk in His protection. You walk in His power. Hallelujah. There are people like that. They are willing and able to cry. Years ago, someone cried like that in our house, my family house. So she met me laughing. You know, the tears just changed. Ah, okay. Some people just like crying. Hallelujah. I'm filled with the word of God. See what Jesus did. He said, why do you do this? The damsel is not dead but sleep. Why would you not like something like that? Someone says, the word of God is working. Hallelujah. My needs are met. My bills are paid. You say, eh? You know, someone says, hey, I'm sorry, oh. I learned you lost your job. Ah, bro. Sorry, oh. That's how one cousin of mine too. He even lost his own leg. Sorry, oh. They'll say, oh, no, don't worry. It's just temporary. I'm walking on God's word. I know by the grace of God, next couple of days I get a job. Say, eh? So you can see the person is not really. Okay. That was what they did to Jesus. Look at verse 40. Let's say verse 40 together. And they laughed him. Looks like corn. They laughed him to scorn. They mocked him. The Greek word here is katagelaho. It actually means they laughed loud. You know, have you seen laughing loud? From tears. From to. What do you mean? You know what Jesus did? And that's what you have to do. The Bible says, He put them all. Learn to do a sanitation around you. If there's something mocking God's word in your mind, take it out. If there's a friend around you who puts out negative things, take the information out. Block the access. If Jesus had to do this, that means it's important. Some of us keep looking at unbelief, we keep looking at anxiety, just say, well, let it just be there, you know, I know God will make it. No! Pull it out! Block the access. Hallelujah. Put it out. Amen. Put it out. As we begin to close this morning, I want you to start thinking. What have you given access to your heart? Someone who brings in strife. There are some people, all they tell come to do for you in church is to tell you gist. Years ago, a brother like that, he was the one that took me to the church. It was my Ananias. So the senior pastor of the church rebuked a member, actually the leader of the choir, who used to play the keyboard. Sorry, you are the one on the keyboard now. He rebuked him publicly. In fact, that day, the teaching was very strong. We were all just shaking. As we're leaving, the pastor told us, if I see you greet each other after the service, this is in season out of season. So we go home in the evening. My friend, my Ananias, say, MOG, what do you think? Because I used to pastor, but because we're not doing Sunday services, so I used to go to that church in the morning. So he now came and said, what do you think about what the man said this morning? Is that not overreaction? I said, what did you just say? Are you the pastor? He said, no. So what are you? Church analyzer. Analyst. I said, take your course away from my house. I'm not here for that. He said, then never again should you come and review a decision of the pastor in my house. There is no scripture for what you are doing. If you don't like the place, go. There are options. If you don't like a place where they pray too much, go to a lighter version. If you don't like a place where they shut the door, right? When the service has started, go to a place where you can even enter at the end and be blessed. If you don't like a place where they take permission from their pastors, go to the one that the pastor gets to know when they are gone. You have an option. But don't come here and review the church. I said, stop it. Don't do it again. That's why if I'm your friend, no one will be able to talk bad about you with me. All my friends know it. It's not that I will stop them. They won't be able to start it. Because what the ear does not hear, the heart does not think. Stop it. Stop it immediately. Jesus put it out. Whatever your actions today are a product of your thoughts. And your thoughts are a product of the things that you have heard. You bless this morning. Say, I stay positive in this negative world. Lift your hands wherever you are.